and welcome to An Evening with Nirvana. It's a podcast where I talk to various guests from the Doom community about level design, map making, and content creation. Today on the podcast, we're talking speedrunning, and I am speaking with Looper. He's known primarily for his world record runs for the Doom 2 Detour category, and he's also an accomplished runner for a number of other awards, with a load of Hell Revealed 2 Nomo world records and nearly 300 demos total submitted to DSDA. Welcome to the podcast, Looper. How are you doing today?
Hello, I'm doing good. Thanks for having me here.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk to you. Got a lot of questions. I've watched your stream a lot when you've done Detour runs, so I was there for the world record run, I believe. That's exciting.
That's nice. Thanks.
So the question that I ask everybody, and I have absolutely no idea of this one with you. Sometimes I know people's sort of origins a little bit, but what was your first experience with Doom?
Probably the first time around 1996 or 7 when my parents bought the Windows 95 Doom.
Right. And so that was the original Doom?
Yeah, the Windows 95 version.
And when did you get Doom 2 then? Did you actually get it when it came out, or did you play that much later?
It was at the same time as with the Windows 95, so 97, 96, something like that.
Uh-huh. And did you play like TNT and Plutonia, or like was that also like right when they came out?
That was much later, like 2005, I believe. That's when my cousin was playing those Final Doom ones.
Mm-hmm. So you like went over to your cousin's house and he had them, and then you ended up getting them, or?
Something like that. So I was visiting him and I saw him playing it, and I don't remember exactly. Maybe I played it there some, and
right.
I don't remember the details anymore.
And was Doom 2, did you pretty quickly find that was your favorite of the IWODs? Or, I mean, is it even your favorite?
I think it's my favorite, but, I like the SSG and the new monsters. And I never really liked Doom 1. There's something unknown about it, like it's too cramped or something like that.
Mm-hmm. And maybe a bit slow without the SSG and stuff.
I don't mind too much that the SSG is missing, but you have rocket launcher, plasma rifle, those are fast, but there's something off.
So to play casually, would you say that you would still enjoy Doom 2, or do you just like it as a speedrun?
I think I would enjoy it quite casually too, but yeah, the speedrunning is much better in Doom 2 than in Doom 1, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. And so, like, what other games did you play, when you were younger, like, around when you were playing Doom?
I think I mostly played Half-Life Deathmatch and Counters, like, Beta and 1.6 and Team Fortress 2.
So pretty much all, like, FPS games?
Yeah, very heavily FPS-based games.
Mm-hmm. And was Doom your first actual speed game then?
I don't know. I did play Half-Life. Like, I was playing alone in my home, and I just wanted to play it quick. I didn't know anything about speedrunning, but I had 2 hours of time, so I wanted to finish the Half-Life from start to the ending as fast as possible. So I did manage to get it in under 2 hours, so mm-hmm. I guess that was my first really speedrunning game then.
That's interesting. And when did you sort of discover PWODs and like the community and custom content and stuff?
96, 97, when we got the Doom 95 because it had the master's level with it.
Oh, okay. And did you, like, immediately seek out other stuff then, like, online?
No, only in 2009.
So was that like a big break from Doom, like in between?
Yeah, I didn't play any Doom between like 98 to 2005 and then again from 2006 to 2009 or so.
Okay. So there was like
So I only played in 96, 97 to complete the game and play a bit some random stuff, and then a bit in 2005 with well, when my cousin was playing the Final Doom, and then in 2009 I came back with speedrunning in mind.
Okay, so did you come? Was that basically after that sort of thing with Half-Life? Was that what sparked you wanting to speedrun Doom?
I had to think a bit. I was playing Half-Life like maybe 1999 till 2000 and, well, okay, 2009. So I guess so.
That's interesting. And how come you sort of decided to like get heavily into speedrunning? I saw on an old sort of profile on Doomed DSDA, you used to do no-mo runs and compare times with your friends. Is that sort of where it began?
Yeah, the initial spark came from 2005 when my cousin was playing the Final Doom, but we were looking for the fastest records at the time, and we were inspired by some of the runs, like the map 16 suburbs in Doom 2. Like, how do you get it in 12 seconds or 11 seconds or something like that? And it felt like you had to use the cheats, but we knew they didn't use the cheats, but we couldn't watch the demo files back then because we didn't have the original source port. We tried to open it with the wrong source port, so.
Right. So, 'cause you, I think it said on the profile thing that you used to like you would play Xan was it I don't know what it would have been back then, but you used to play co-op and stuff with your friends a whole bunch, and that's sort of
It was around 2009 when we played with my four-man squad with my friends. And we played Doom 1, Doom 2 with UV difficulty and with the fast parameter. And it was quite a fun to try to survive through the wars. But yeah, about that time, I just tried to speed run the game under the legacy source port, which isn't quite the same as the original, but it's pretty close, so it's not that bad.
How, like, what are the big differences between Legacy and, say, Vanilla or Chocolate Doom or Crispy?
There's no, well, you can actually run over the monsters in Legacy, and I believe the Doom guy accelerates a bit faster in Legacy Doom.
Oh.
It's not a lot, but it's a tiny bit. And when you teleport, you can actually turn around freely when you are stuck to a teleporter. Like, you cannot do that in vanilla.
Oh, that's interesting.
So in Legacy, you can get the perfect angle immediately while waiting for to get unstuck.
There you go. New ways to cheat in Doom. Just use the legacy source point, don't tell anyone. So I guess you're like when I think of you and when I talk to other sort of speedrunners and stuff about you is I feel like you're known very specifically for like how good your movement is. And you have a lot of no-mo and UV speedruns on DSDA. Do you tend to prefer movement-based runs over UV maxes, for example? Or do you mainly just sort of stick with runs because you know them very well at this point?
I used to like UV speed and no monsters the most, but I think I have switched my favorite category to UV max because there's a lot more going on in those UV max runs than in no monsters runs.
That's interesting. Is that like a fairly recent thing for you then?
I don't know if it's recent, but I think it has switched over the last like 6 years or so.
Right, okay. So I wanted to sort of talk specifically about the Doom 2 detour, the UV speed run, which is the one that I've seen the most of. So why did you sort of choose Doom 2 as your main sort of speed run, and why did you want to take on the detour in the first place?
When I saw the 26 minutes and how many seconds was it by Radek Pekka in 2009 or so, back when I was using the legacy source part, I thought that the run is not that good. I felt like I could take it down very easily. Mm-hmm. And I always liked Doom 2. I knew the maps. I didn't like Doom 1, so I thought, let's try how it goes. And well, it didn't take much to get the world record, I guess. And I did manage to get some new tricks into my world record back in, was it 2010 and December, something like that.
How long did it take you to sort of piece that first run together into like a full run?
That's a good question. I actually don't remember anymore. Maybe it was some months, but I don't remember exactly. Maybe 3 months or so.
Do you remember kind of the process? Like, did you do a lot of did you play through casually and then find the levels that you thought would give you the most trouble and then try and learn sections of those? Or like, what was your sort of process initially?
I did watch all the UV speed and No Masters runs back then. I tried to copy those runs. Like, I tried to match the No Masters times, UV speed times. And I tried to implement the tricks that were used in those runs, like the rocket jump in map 7. That was very interesting, so I thought, I did it in legacy source part, which was actually very easy in legacy because you accelerate a bit faster. Mm-hmm. So I thought, maybe I can do it in Vanilla 2. So it worked out.
Right. And
actually, the map 27 trick, that was a bit crazy because I didn't know about hugging the short pole in the area to prevent the arch wall blast damage. So very, very risky.
Yeah, for people who don't know about that trick, with the arch wall, what do you have to do exactly in Monster Condo?
You have to lure the arch wall to the exit door so that the arch wall will open the exit door for you, but at the same time it will attack you and you will pretty much die, except if you hug the pole in there, so you don't take the blast damage from the arch wall, so you take a lot less damage.
Yeah, because I think if it's 32 high, or I can't remember if it has to be exactly 32 high or what the exact heights are, but if you have a 32 high sort of pole or little pillar in between you and a vial, for some reason it blocks the blast damage and you only take 20 damage.
Yeah, I think it was something like that. The center of the blast is a bit in front of the Doom guy or something like that. I don't remember exactly, but yeah, I don't remember the details.
Right. Yeah, maybe, yeah, that makes sense. So it would like clip into the object, I suppose.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah, you have to get the vial to open it because it's a key door, and for some reason enemies can open key doors. I'm not sure if is that
it's the other side of the door. It has no key. It's openable,
yeah, that's right,
by monsters. So the arch wall is fast enough to open the door from the other side of the door.
Yeah. That is really weird. Is the side def actually flipped as well? Like inwards so that it can open? That's kind of interesting.
I don't think that's flipped. I can check it quick.
I'm just curious about whether the side def needs to be the correct way around for monsters or whether they don't care. Because it does have to be the correct way around for Doomguy.
I just checked and it looks normal, so it's facing away from the door.
That's interesting. Yeah, I guess monsters don't care.
Yeah.
So one of the like first major bits of tech in that run is the glide in map 2, and that glide seems to be a bit of a problem a lot of the time. Like, it's a big reset point. Why is that glide sort of painful to do, I suppose?
It's painful because it's very early in the run, so you have to take a huge risk in order to gain a lot of time. But that means you will have to take many attempts because there's no time to kill all of the monsters, and they will push you. So the glide isn't possible if you get pushed all around all the time. So.
Right.
It gets annoying fast, as you have to do like 20 items in a row to get one glide or so.
Yeah, and because, yeah, to set up the glide, you have to stand, you have to be standing still and basically like performing like a lot of movements with vertical mouse movement, right?
Yep, it's really precise movement trick.
Yeah, and then, yeah, the shotgunners that are there are not only pushing you, but they might just straight up kill you, so.
Yeah, I have died so many times there, like, pretty much instantly. It's like playing a nightmare. I believe there's 3 shotgunners and, is it 2 pistol dudes or 3 pistol dudes? Something like that. Plus there's the red key shotgunners too, and so on, so.
Yeah. I feel like the next sort of, In terms of the early part of the run, and you did talk about it briefly, the next sort of big trick that I think of is the rocket jump in map 7. Could you talk about like setting up a trick like that and sort of learning how to get something like that consistent?
Well, first you just go to a corner, then you save, you try some strafe 50 setups. If you can get to that platform, if not, try to adjust it somehow and try to remember the visual cue. You don't have to remember the visual cue because you can just use save load and try to find a spot where it works. And then once you find the good spot, try to get to the good spot from the corner or some easy setup place. And you just have to memorize the visuals where to be.
So that would be like pixels on a texture or something like that?
Yeah, I usually go to the corner, then I look at certain direction so that I look at the left side of the screen, how the exit platform looks, and then I move with strafe left a bit until I see some certain pixels on the right side of the screen or something like that.
Right. And how consistent is that trick, do you think? At this point,
well, with the keyboard strafe 50, I think I get it like 75% of the times, maybe 80 or 90. I don't remember anymore. Maybe it was 90%, something like that.
That's pretty good. 90%.
Yeah, it's a lot better than in DOSBox times when I had it like 50-50.
Right. Yeah. Well, you just need that extra speed boost from that other source port, you'll be fine.
In the legacy source part, yeah. The trick was actually very easy in that one because you could just bind multiple keys in one key and
Really? You
didn't have to do shit. You could just, there was some joke easy setup for the rocket jump anyway, so it was way too easy. But in the original Doom speedruns, you are not allowed to bind multiple commands in one key, except maybe the strafe on key and turn left is fine, but I'm right. Not using those.
Oh, there's another rocket jump as well in map 9 that you have to do. Is that one of the harder bits of tech in the run?
Yeah, I would say the map 9 rocket jump, it's actually not that bad, but it's random, so there's nothing you can do about it, so it can get really frustrating. If you get unlucky, you will fail it 5 times in a row, and you get 5 failed runs in a row. So
right.
I don't know what to say about that one. It's just luck, but it's not that difficult. It's like 2 out of 3 chance for each rocket to work or so.
So what's the luck element there?
It's the diagonal wall. You bounce around quite randomly from it, and sometimes it causes you to mess up the sub-pixel position of the Doomguy, and the rocket jump will not work then. And...
Right. Has there been any effort on your or other people's part to kind of find another way to maybe line that rocket jump up and get it to be less bouncy?
Well, I think there has been, but it's so tough to find a consistent setup that is also very fast, because at the moment there's pretty much no setup needed, so it's very fast and quite easy to do. Mm-hmm. But if you fail it, or if you set up it, you will be a lot slower.
Right, and I guess like it's only 9 maps into the run, which isn't, I mean, it's obviously still a waste of time, but it's not too bad.
Yeah, it's not too bad. It's about all about balancing the risk and reward and so on. So
yeah, and when you were sort of
second, if it was the second map in the run, you would take you would never take a setup, you know, in the rocket jump, because it would be that easy.
Right. Yeah. And when you were looking at that original run that you wanted to beat, do you think a lot of what made up time was just like willingness to take risks with things?
You mean if I compare to the 26 minute run?
Just when you were initially starting out, do you think that's like a big thing with beating another person's time, is just taking more risks than them, for instance?
Well, I thought I have the better movement already before I started to play the run, and I thought the decision making wasn't that good back then in the record, so I thought there were many ways to beat the run, so that's why I got the 3 minutes off from the time.
Yeah, 3 minutes is pretty sizable. That's quite a lot of time.
Yeah, and to be honest, it was not my goal. It was 21 minutes something to get the run, but it was the Christmas time, so I submitted half finished run, but it ended up staying as a record quite a long time.
Right. I was curious, as somebody who, you know, I've done a tiny bit of like casual speedrunning and stuff, but not a speedrunner by any stretch of the imagination.
No.
What are like some important parts of the D2L that people might not even notice while they're watching? Like maybe some subtle line skips, or even just like really optimized movement that's like very important to a good time.
I think there are many such things. Like, well, already in map one, you shoot at the certain time, the very first shot in the run. If you shoot too early, the zombies will block you. If you shoot too late, the later zombies will block you. So you have to shoot at the correct time so that the first 2 zombies won't block you, and the later zombies won't block you. And I think you have to shoot one of the imps to make it less likely to block you. Then you already have to do a tiny sidestep movement in the... Well, I don't know how to describe it. It's like the third corridor, I guess. But
yep.
There's a tiny side movement that manipulates the movement of the imp and one of the zombies, so you get past them a lot more often. So there's many such things in the run, but it's not easy to spot them.
Yeah, I guess I was like noticing some small stuff, like there's a wall run you do in map 20 at the beginning when you drop down, for instance.
Oh yeah, that's a bit more obvious, but yeah.
I guess, yeah. I would imagine there must be a lot of things like that. I was curious to hear about, you know, like any things that you think about that you can think are very important. Because that stuff's really interesting to me, just like the very small optimizations that you've made.
Yeah, there are some situations where you just randomly, well, seemingly randomly shoot, but you still do something like at the beginning of map 2, you shoot at the first room so that the shotgun later in the run will be at the better position so you can kill it easily. So the chances to perform them up to Clyde increases.
Yeah, I mean, good. There must just be so many small things. I feel like I just want to hear about all of them.
There's a lot of, but
yeah,
like in map 11, Circle of Death, there's the BFT shot. I think I said it in the 70:29 run.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you shoot with the BFT? It's because the Kakademons will block you most of the time, but in the run they did nothing, so it will look like I just wasted a BFT shot there, even though I really didn't, because on average they will block you.
Right. I was curious how much actual like rerouting has happened over the years. Can you think of like major changes to the run more recently?
Well, I would say map 2, Zero Master implemented the map 2 Clyde, so I would say that's one of the newer things, but I don't know if it's new for other players, but for me it feels like a new way to deal with the map 2.
Mm-hmm.
Of course there's the map 14, because there used to be rocket jump. Now I would say that the wall-less wall run jump to the exit is much better than the rocket jump, because it's faster and you don't take damage, which is a factor in a run like that.
Mm-hmm.
And of course map 15, zero press.
Yeah,
that's a huge one.
Yeah, the zero presses were definitely one of the things I was thinking about, because that's probably one of the most recent pieces of like speedrun tech for Doom.
Yeah, I believe it's the biggest trick in Doom 2 that has been discovered in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in a long time. It's like a Clyde, basically, discovering a Clyde.
Yeah.
Same scale of trick.
And
so, yes, please go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Well, in map 15, with the zero press, you can skip the secret level. And in map 17, you can skip the tenements. You can skip the yellow key and blue key. Yeah, yellow key and blue key by hitting the yellow key bars through the wall. So those two things are massive in D2 all UV speed.
So how come the secret levels aren't part of the D2 for this? Because I think for some D2 they include secret maps in P-Wads and stuff.
Oh, are they really forced in those P-Wads? Are you supposed to do them? Or are they doing it just because it's faster?
Well, maybe in a max, I guess, yeah, you would have to do them, right? And then in UV speed, it's not part of the category then to do every level.
Yeah, in UV speed, you just want to go from map 1 to map 30 as fast as possible. But
true.
In UV max, you have to complete all the levels and get all the secrets. So if you skip a secret level, you cannot get all the secrets.
Yeah, that's interesting to think about. The max aspect of the category, but applying to actually completing entire maps.
Yeah.
So do you think a zero press is like the most major change that's occurred to the run in terms of routing more recently?
I would say so, because rocket jumps and glides, they were implemented in my 23 minutes run already, so after that it's not that impressive to add one more glide or something. Like, it's obvious then that there's a glide or rocket jump or something, but
mm-hmm.
zero press is completely new.
And how much time did it end up saving overall, the 1 in 15?
Well, let's see, the old road was something like, let's say 33 seconds for map 15, and 30 seconds for map 15, 33 seconds, and map 31 is, let's say, 31 seconds, so it's 1 minute and 4 seconds, but with the zero press, it's like 54 seconds for the normal exit, but you save some cells, and so it's you save cells and you save HP, and it's like a, I would say 15 second time save in map 15 overall.
That is interesting that like such a big trick that takes an entire level out of the equation is still only a 15 second time save.
Yeah, it's not that big in map 15, but in map 17, I believe it saves a lot more. It's like 40 seconds? Is it something like that?
Right. That's interesting.
So overall, it's close to 1 minute from those two tricks.
Mm-hmm. And like what are sort of the... Are there any major time saves remaining in terms of cutting back the world record? Like what do you think needs to happen for... You know, is it just all about perfectly optimized movement at this point?
No, there are some tricks remaining, and well, yeah, you can always take more risks in map 2. There's still room for improvements. Like you can still get some tricks in. I know some tricks that haven't been used yet, but they are just getting like map 3 rocket jump. It's crazy rocket jump, but I think it's possible to get in a UV speedrun.
Are these things that are like already implemented in like the IL runs, but not in the
tour? Yeah.
Right. And it's just really like... Is that mostly stuff that would like occur in the later maps? Like, you know, you don't want to be doing those tricks in a detour when it's like map 28 or something, I'm assuming.
It's a bit like that, but there are some tricks that are getting close to the level of maybe they are doable or worth it, because it gets, the competition gets tougher and tougher, so the tricks become more interesting, or how to say it.
And do you think the run becomes more enjoyable as it becomes like more competitive and tighter, or does it become less enjoyable because it's so many resets?
I think it becomes less and less enjoyable because there's less room for anything new to discover, and everyone is doing everything the same, and there's nothing left. Like if you come up with a new trick, everyone is gonna copy it in instant. You cannot do anything in Doom that others cannot copy. That's pretty much it.
Right. Do you think this is
That's why I like UV Max a bit more, because there's some subtle things that takes a lot more time and experience that you cannot copy instantly. You have to understand a bit more.
Yeah, that's what I was just about to ask you about. about doing UV Maxes, because obviously, there's also, like, a lot of extra variables when you're actually dealing with, like, all the combat in the map.
Yeah, UV Max has a lot of risk management. It's like, and armor management. So you cannot just copy the route in UV Max, because you have to leave. The run is leaving so much that you are not relying on everything working out and so on. But once the run is more optimized, everyone is gonna use the same exact shots, exact same weapons, and so on. And if they fail one shot, they will restart the run. Like it becomes quite annoying in the end, but there's a long way for UV Max to reach such state.
Yeah. And I guess I was sort of curious, like, why you didn't end up, because you did a bunch of Nomo runs for HR2, but why didn't you sort of end up getting into more PWOD running and stuff?
I don't know. I think there was enough playing in HR2 already, and then there was the Doom 2. I wanted to get most of the Doom 2 Nomo records, so there was that. And I always thought that once I'm good enough in No Monsters speedrunning, only then I should go for UV speed. And once I'm good enough in UV speed, I should go UV max and so on. So that's how I saw it. And I guess I'm still on the path or something.
So it's like really about sort of being the unequivocally the best, I guess.
maybe, I don't know.
No one can question. That's what you want. We talked like about the zero presses and glides and stuff. Do you enjoy doing those types of tricks, or are you someone who prefers like movement tech and combat and stuff when speedrunning?
I like some tricks, like some rocket jumps are really fun. Zero press is most of the time fun. Glides are quite reasonable at times, but sometimes they are so fucking annoying that you don't want to play the whole what if there's a such annoying trick. Like, you know, there are some custom words that think about speedrunners, and then they leave some glides. So you are like, oh man, I don't want to do these glides. So you aren't going to play the what, but I think Plutonia Revisited, or what was it? I think it had some of those, and it's a bit mixed feeling when glides are intentional and when they are not. I don't know what to say exactly, but some tricks I like, but usually it's the glides and void glides that I don't like in speedrunning.
Yeah, I do feel like that I get a similar answer about glides from a lot of other people.
Some glides are just fun because they have a wall or something that makes the glide very easy. Like, let's say you teleport into a new location and then you already got the wall-less effect, which means you can perform the glide immediately. So it would be abusing the teleport, but not about hammering the gameplay into some MAF 2 kind of random event.
Could you talk about that aspect with the teleporter, the wall-less effect?
Well, some maps have the teleport destination touching the wall. So once you teleport, you are actually at the perfect location to perform the glide if there's a gap along the wall. Mm-hmm. So you could just hug the wall, and if you meet any glides,
yeah,
you will do them. You will get them immediately without doing anything vertical mouse movement stuff or getting pushed around on something.
Right, yeah. Because you talked about having a wall, and that's like a guided glide, right? And then...
Yeah. It would be similar to this teleport thing, but I don't think there are many such maps in existence that use that fact. But it would be cool. If you want to make a map that has a glide intentionally, please use the teleport thing. It really helps. Like, it doesn't make them up bullshit immediately.
Yeah. I know that a lot of speedrunners as well, they don't really like... they don't like maps that are sort of custom built for speedrunners that much, because I think a lot of the fun for a lot of speedrunners is like figuring out like how to beat the map themselves as quickly as possible, kind of thing.
Yeah, it's about outsmarting the mapper, but it's fine to make a what for speedrunners if the what is honest about it. So if it's what made for speedruns, nothing problem with that. But if it's let's say, I don't know, what are these ones, Slaughterfest? I don't say Slaughterfest has such tricks, but I just throw something out of my mind. If it has some tricks that are made for speedrunners only, but not for the casual player, it would be annoying. Right. But I don't know if Slaughterfest has such things. So
I don't think so. Actually, I'm not sure though.
Yeah, I just throw some random custom mod name because I have no idea about this.
What was sort of the most recent P-Word you played, actually?
One second, I will check the...
I think I did sort of ask you a little bit before the podcast, but do you play a lot of Doom, like non-speedrunning? Do you just play casually a decent amount?
Yeah, I'm playing Back to Saturn. Was it episode 1?
Oh, yeah.
Back to Saturn XE1, I guess.
Uh-huh.
Something like that. So that's the previous pivot I have played. And it's with total monster randomization, which means there are custom monsters in the map. And each time the map starts, there are all of the monsters are randomized, so you never know if it's going to be a cyber demon or a mangus or archer or something. And I play that stuff with my friends.
So you mostly play, if you play Doom casually, you play like online, like
yeah, online. That's pretty much what I do most of the time when I'm playing.
Right. So you don't sort of like boot up Sunder or Sunlust or something and play by yourself?
No, I don't play those solo, but I can play them with the Total Monster randomization, yeah.
Right, okay. Interesting. So sort of back to the detail, I guess. In map 17, I guess this comes back to you saying that you save some cells with the Zero Press, but I saw like that you use a few BFG shots, and like you use one just on one Arachnotron, and it made me curious about how much the ammo routing for the cells has changed, or if that sort of stayed the same for a long time. I guess you said the Zero Press saved you some cells in that particular instance.
Yeah, it does save some ammo in map 15 and 17, the Zero Press part. Overall, it's... the cell count, it varies a bit, because sometimes you have to use some extra ammo, and I believe sometimes you don't get as much ammo in map 12 in the Cacodemon room, the room with the moving lifts and
yep.
5 switches and so on. So there's the plus 20 cells on the ground on each lift. But sometimes you don't get them all, or you miss something. There's some wiggle room with the cell count, but there are some critical shots in the run that you really need to have cells for.
Mm-hmm. Which ones in particular?
Well, map 27, the Hell Knight and the Lost Souls, just before the exit for the Archwell. So that's an area where I really want to have cells, but there are some other points, but let's see, I have to think a bit.
Is that kind of like a reset moment if you mess that BFG shot up?
You don't really have to reset, but it's like it's a mess if you don't have it's so messy if you don't kill the Lost Souls and the Hell Knight, because they will just attack the Archwall, and the Archwall will just run away from the exit door then, and it's so messed up. You just want the cells. It's too chaotic, but it's possible to still get a good map 27 even with that cell, so it's not a reset, but it's very risky and way too chaotic.
And which map would you say like has the most difficult movement specifically?
Probably map 24.
Why is the movement so hard for that map?
It's the narrow catwalks.
Yep. Well, it's interesting because I had sort of a follow-up question because I thought that might be the answer. Yeah, the movement on the chasm, which is map 24, if people weren't aware. I'm assuming that's something you sort of had to train, like, muscle memory for. Did you ever go into, like, do you just go into the chasm in that scenario and just do the movement over and over again? Did you do that kind of IL practice for the run?
Yeah, I did have a lot of practice for the map because in 2009, when I played in the Legacy Sourceport, we already liked Settlers 36 record run, 36 second run without the ending jump and 33 second run with the jump. So we started to compete in the map and we just played it a lot the very first. It was like our first target, get to a good time in Mat 24. And I think we got 34 seconds in the first night of playing the Doom in speedrunning.
Wow. So
it's actually the very first map I have really speedrun. And of course, in later I went for the 35 second no monsters run in the map without the ending jump. And then finally, I got a 32 second UV speedrun, which is still a record for the map after, what is it, 11 and a half years ago.
Oh, wow.
Or after. Yes. So I'm quite happy with the record because it's under DOSBox. So I think the run is beatable nowadays, but back then I'm sure it wasn't because I did have many runs written down and I combined the best possible time I could ever get. And it was something like 32.23 or so. Mm-hmm. So there was absolutely no chance for me ever getting 31 seconds into custom with the DOSBox plus original Doom combination. But with TSDA port, I would say it's possible. But in any case, I have a lot of experience for the Map 24, from the aisles and UV speed, no monsters, no UV max.
And so what are the big differences with DSDA? Is it just things like frame rate and like stability and stuff like that, more so than any like actual features, or is it like a feature thing that makes it just easier?
Well, the in-game restart helps a lot, but as the DOSBox 0.74, that's not so good. Because it's actually quite laggy.
Yeah.
And back when I got the record 11 and a half years ago, I actually had 60 hertz monitor, which is very bad for a game that runs in 35 FPS. Because, well, if you think about it, you have 60 hertz on a monitor, and the game runs at 35 FPS. So you get one frame of the correct screen, and once the screen moves to the next frame, there's like, it's 20, well, 60 minus 35, that's 25. So you get like a, it's pretty much every second frame is shown for two monitor refresh rates and every second for one. So it's so bad refresh rate for Doom. So it gets all like a rubber band effect or something like that.
So a lot of problems, really, with playing on the DOSBox back in the day.
Yeah. I remember restarting the computer very often because it actually decreased the lag a lot.
Oh, really? some kind of memory leak or something in DOSBox 2.
Most likely, yeah.
Right. So an interesting aspect of the run is how much weapon switching occurs. How much of the run do you think is just having the right weapon out at the right time? And is that something that's like kind of difficult to remember when you're initially learning it?
I think most of the time it's not too bad. Like it's somewhat obvious what weapons to use at times, but like in map 17, the spider where you use the BFG, of course you want to use the BFG to the spider. Mm-hmm. And after that, I think shotgun could be the best, but there's no time to switch from the BFG to SSG and then SSG to SG. But so then you have this super shotgun there, and I think the UV speed isn't like most of the time it doesn't matter that much which weapon you are using, but at the same time you want to be careful about the cell usage.
Yeah.
So you have to think about where to shoot with the BFG. You have to know all of the shots, and then you can kind of think which shots to leave out if some problems happen, like you are missing 40 cells or 80 cells.
Right. And I guess watching the run for me, is the scariest trick in the run that rocket jump that you do on map 29? It's like right at the end of the run. I would imagine it's like you might as well reset if you miss it, I'm assuming, because I think you would fall in the pit and have to sort of run all the way back around to get back up.
Yeah, it's a reset if you fail it, but I don't know. I got quite used to the whole run already, so I didn't think much about it, but I guess it's still the most scary one. Yeah, it's the final jump, so it's a bit scary.
Yeah. And
I would say that map 21 is actually really scary too, because there's the three climbs plus a rocket boost, and right after that you get the map 22, which has bar glide plus rocket jump, and map 23 is tough because there's the barrel jump or possible rocket jump, and then map 24. So I always think that's the scariest part of the run too, because there's four maps in a row that are really intense. Mm-hmm. But if it's just one trick, then map 29, final rocket jump, I guess.
Yeah, because map 21, in the current world record, you do the first two glides and then you miss the first rocket jump back, or rocket boost, yeah. I guess. And then you have to rocket do it again. Boost. And you had enough health to do it there, luckily.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Barely enough HP for the second attempt. It could have ended the run.
Yeah.
In that map.
So is that something
you're
That's something you're conscious of in the previous map to like make sure you have enough health going in as well?
I don't think there's too much HP management going on anymore, because you just have the HP that you have. Like map 20, you get the Megasphere, and then you have a lot of HP, but at the same time, you never really know how much damage you take and what goes wrong. So in this case, yeah, I did have to use the rocket boost twice in map 21. It was really bad. But at the same time, that's pretty much the HP you can mess up in the run, at least at the moment. If you try some more rocket jumps or something, let's say void glides or something, where you need a rocket boost, then the run would have been over already.
Right, yeah. If you could remove a map from the speedrun entirely, which one would you remove? Like, which one do you hate the most?
Well, probably map 2, but let's see what would happen if map 2 is removed. It would be... Okay, you'd get the map 1 in 5 seconds, but what would happen in map 3 then? You would get the rocket jumper now, right? Because it's there's no map 2. You would take the higher
that's true.
Map 3. So you would have to remove map 3 then. You would hate the map 3 a lot.
Yeah.
So if you remove map 2 and 3, what happens then? You would have to do the map 4 ending jump in a fast manner. Would you hate that one then? I don't know. If you remove that one, then there's the map 5 jump. It gets, it's it's so annoying.
Well, also, if you took out map 2, you wouldn't get SSG, right? Until later. Because do you pick
that's
up?
True.
Yeah, I think you pick it up, right?
There's SSG in map 4, but...
So you'd have to do
if you would map pick 3 without it. Yeah. Map 3 has no SSG, I guess. Yeah. And map 5 has at the beginning of the level.
So maybe you'd be better off taking one out of the later part of the run. Because you probably have the weapons you need, yeah. You'd probably just take the longest map out. Or maybe Monster Condo, so you don't have to do the vial.
That might be good. I think that's fine. I think that's fine, map. Because the pole trick helps a lot.
What's the longest it's taken you? I remember watching Dime do it. I think it was at AGDQ, and the vial just would not cooperate.
Yeah, I saw that one. I saw the vial just run away, but Dime did a time mistake there. He should have, when the monster is running away from the player like it did in the Dime's run, it was hugging the wall, so you need to take a sidestep so that the archval can turn around, otherwise it will not ever turn around until the wall runs out of the side of the monster.
Right. So you talked about like how UV Max is your favorite category overall, and you've done a lot of like individual level runs for Doom 2 UV Max. Have you considered doing like the D2L Max?
Yeah, I have done the D2 UV Max, and I got the world record, but I haven't sent it yet. So I feel like there's too much room for improvements still. So even though I forgot how much did I improve the record, it's something like 5 minutes. But it feels unfinished at the moment. So the UV Max is so complicated that I feel like I need to go into the some of the levels and just play them a lot more with different ways. Like I took many of the paths and routes and tactics to the D2 all UV Max just from the IL runs, but I don't think those are optimal. Like map 12, for example, the factory. I got the IL record in the map, but I don't think my tactic in the D2 all run is optimal at all. I think you got to kill the first shotgunners in the tiny building and then use the lift and kill the imps, or at least wake the imps, and then kill a couple spiders or something like that. But in the aisle run, I go to the building with the shotgunners and then just run around the map so that I wake all the monsters and so on. But I feel like that's not the correct way for D2 all, because you have all the weapons, you got a lot of ammo and so on, so you don't have to do it the same way.
Right. And what were some of the, obviously, like, you're dealing with monsters, it's a very different run, but what were some of the big differences for you, like, learning the UV Max route from the UV speed?
You got to memorize a lot more in UV Max.
Yeah.
There's so much more. Like, the weapon usage, ammo management. The ammo management is really tough actually in UMX, as in map 10, I believe, the refueling base, you actually need some BFG shots, or the run is a lot slower. So you need like 120 cells at the beginning of the level, or you will be 20 seconds slower.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to pay attention to the ammo management a lot more. And of course, you don't want to miss the shots because you will lose the ammo.
Yeah. And is it kind of exciting having like a bit more of an open run? Like you said, you took 5 minutes off the time, which to me indicates that you've probably done some rerouting and some ammo rerouting and stuff of your own. Yeah.
Yeah, there's some for sure. And of course, there's better ammo management in some situations, because sometimes you get to think, which one is better, 3 rockets or 1 BFG shot, or which one is better, 5 rockets or 1 BFG shot. It's not actually so obvious, because sometimes the 1 BFG shot, it kills everything in one go, but 5 rockets, you have to shoot them slowly one by one.
Yeah.
But in some situations, you can actually shoot the rockets from a far distance already, so you don't lose any time for shooting the 5 rockets. Like, let's say there's a long hallway, you can already shoot the 5 rockets from a distance, but you have to run. So it's tough to optimize. You don't really know if you are doing the correct thing or not. It's tough to balance. So I feel like there's a lot more room for learning and improvements and new tactics, new strategies.
Mm-hmm. And is there a map that's like quite difficult in the UV speed and then easier in the UV max, and like vice versa, I suppose?
Let's see. Well, map 2 is tough in both, but the UV max is a bit strange in some sense that there are not that many easy maps, because the ammo management is quite tough. You have to be careful about the HP or you will die in the next map and so on. So, but overall, it has no spikes in the difficulty. It's like overall tough, and you want to experiment some stuff at the same time. So, but UV speed, you just know if you're fucked up immediately if you fail something.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would say the UV speed is a lot worse or a lot more difficult, because it should be a lot more optimized. So one mess up and the run is over pretty much in UV speed. But UV max, it has a lot more, a lot easier time.
Right. And are there any other detours that interest you at all? Like any of the IWOD ones, like TNT or plutonium or anything like that?
Well, I'm not a big fan of TNT, but plutonium is all right. But at the same time, I don't know. I think if I went for plutonium run at this moment, it would be like, yeah, I copy everything from Zero Master and then that's it. Like, oh, right. Oh, hooray, I got 1 second improvement. I didn't do anything new. So if I ever chamber to plutonium UV speed or nightmare speed or something like that, I would need some new tricks, or I would have to argue that to myself that Zero Master is doing something completely wrong. But I don't think he's doing anything wrong there, or definitely completely wrong. So, but when I saw the Radek Pekka's Doom 2 run, I think he did many things simply wrong. So that's why I got motivated to beat it, because I think it deserved a better record. But right. I don't see the same in plutonium, or well, I don't know about evolution, but because I don't actually remember the record anymore.
Yeah, right.
So yeah, plutonium, I believe it. That's very solid run.
But no P-Wad D-tools in your future?
I'm not sure. Most likely not, but not on my side at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Do you have, I guess, any advice for anyone who wants to get into running Doom 2 or Doom 2 D-Tools? Like, what are some good ways to learn the run?
Good ways to learn the run is to join the Doom Hell on Earth Discord server, because there's actually a lot of information, and you can find me even there that could help you with the Doom 2 tricks. Mm-hmm. But if you just want to play the game and what to do, then I would say that you want to copy the tricks that are done in the world record, and then you have to improve your movement a lot, and that's pretty much it.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it does really seem like when I watch you do it, the movement just seems like so precise, and that really does seem like, you know, 90% of the run.
Yeah, the movement helps a lot for sure, but it's not exactly all about the movement. There are some, well, okay, when you set up a trick, you need some certain kind of keyboard layout, and you have to be aware of the key bindings you are using, because you want to use the most efficient key bindings so that the tricks are the most consistent. So you got to be aware of that, but I don't know if that is about the movement itself, because it's like a setup movement, not really playing the game. It's like you press three keys down at the same frame. Is that movement? I don't think so.
Right. Well, it becomes movement. So, you know.
Yeah, it becomes movement, but it doesn't help you with Moth 24 catwalking no matter how many times you set up it. You will be a lot slower with the catwalks if you set up it.
That's true. So really, you just have to do it, really. You just have to get in there and do it.
Yeah, there's no setup for the catwalks.
Yeah. Well, this is sort of the question that I ask everybody, the final question of the podcast, but what is your favorite Doom monster and why?
Archvile, because they let you skip the mobs.
You know, I saw on that old profile that I read that you'd put that the Archvile was your favorite monster, because they had actually asked you, and I was like, I wonder if that's like purely from a speedrunning perspective, like just for the vile jumps.
Well, it's actually a really cool monster, because, well, it's resurrecting monsters. I don't think that's very common in the games. And it's the jumping that enables some cool tricks. And actually, the attack is very unique in some sense. Like, it's like a warning, and then you have to take a cover. It's like a, well, I don't think many games use that mechanic, where there's some alert and you get to take a cover, and it's quite unique when you think about other monsters. Like, there's Cacodemon, yeah, that's Cacodemon. Then there's Imp, that's a walking Cacodemon. Then there's Hell Knight, that's a walking Cacodemon. There's Baron, that's a walking Cacodemon. There's a Demon, that's a melee Cacodemon.
Yeah. Cyberdemon is a Cacodemon that shoots three projectiles.
Yeah, it's a walking Cacodemon with bigger hits.
It's true. Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's anything in any other game that's really similar to the Vile. I think the fact that its attack is hit scan as well, like if you pain chance one from a million miles away, they get that infinite range, and they can just hit you no matter what.
Yeah, it's quite fun.
Yeah, a lot of
actually the pain chance is quite cool too, like especially against the Archvile, because it's like that's my final hope to dodge the hit, and you shoot the Archvile with the SSG, and there's the pain chance. Yeah. That's so, it's good feeling.
Well, yeah, there's just a lot of nuance to fighting them, really, and
yeah,
because they move like very quickly, you. Like, it's obviously it makes them more difficult, but it also means that you can kind of herd them around and body block them and force them to attack you and then retreat. Yeah. And sort of when you get good at dealing with archviles, it becomes like this really fun kind of dance that you can do.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. There are some interesting mechanics for sure. The one thing about the pensions is interesting because when there's a shotgunner, it shoots you and it reloads its weapon. But if you let it shoot you and immediately you shoot it, so it will take the pain chance, it can shoot you again faster than it normally would. So mm-hmm. the pain chance is a bit strange. Like, it can give you help, but also damage you.
Well, I think the big one is probably cyber demons. When you go for a two shot and then... sometimes the tracer will pain chance him and he'll immediately
That's true. Yeah. And in multiplayer, it's quite tough because you expect that the cyber demon is going to shoot three times. So it will shoot twice, but some other player shoots it with the SSC or a chain gun. And it will take a pain chance and it will shoot another three. So it's five rockets in a row. So it will really mess you up at times.
Yeah. Or he'll just randomly spin around to another person or...
Yeah, that's the most common way to go.
Yep. I think I always played on, like, you know, like 250 ping or something because I was playing on an American server. So I just, I would try to go for a two shot instinctively and then you cannot do it on 200 ping. The timing is so impossible.
Yep.
But, you know, you have to go for it. Otherwise, you know, why play? In my opinion.
Yep. It's fun to do such the cyber demons for sure. It's always the goal.
Yeah. Well, I think there were quite a few times where, like, me and Rubik's would play a map and there'd be a cyber demon way too close to the beginning. So you would die and then respawn and then the cyber demon would just be like right on top of you at the start of the map. And he would just camp your spawn basically.
Yeah, it happens at times. Sometimes they're a bit too close to the spawn, so they get telefragged by the spawning players.
Yeah, well, maybe we should have utilized that a bit more to get out of it. But we lost a lot of lives that way.
Yeah, I can imagine. It happens quite often, especially in Thursday night survival, which happens actually today in ZDM.
Mm-hmm.
In around 7 hours, there's a multiplayer survival action happening.
Oh, right, yeah. So you just have a big long list of P-Wads and you guys just play through?
Yeah, we have played quite a many. Like, we played Alien Vendetta not long time ago and... what was it? 1994 TU-2002 AD-10 32 in 24-14 what is this? 3HA, 3HA2, 3HA3, 50 monster, 50 set, 5 rooms, ancient aliens, arcs, Baculus. There's so many maps we have beaten recently.
Yeah. And so BTSX is the next one, right?
Sorry?
Did you say BTSX? You were going to play that?
We played BTSX underscore E1, but at the moment we are at the E2.
Oh, okay, right.
After that will be Cafe Break 1, or what's that? Cafe BRK 1.
Well.
Coffee Break something.
Oh yeah, Coffee Break, yeah, no, I know it.
Okay.
Yep. Well, yeah, I mean, it was great having you on. It was really interesting hearing about the speedrun in depth, because, like I said, I've watched you a lot on Twitch when you... stream like your D2L attempts and stuff, which I recommend everyone do, because it's really fun to watch. I think, like, the run is really fast and really frenetic, and you're like pushing for a world record like every time you do it basically, so it's just like a very exciting run to watch, I think.
Thanks. I haven't been streaming in a while, but usually when I stream I'm going for the world records. Unless there's something like something special, like, let's say, map 30 pacifist. I believe that's something I would stream if I find a way to do.
Mm-hmm. And what about UV Max? Is that something that
you also... Yeah, I have streamed UVMAX quite a bit, even to D2 all UVMAX. So I think the... no, there's no more D2 all UVMAX video available. So I guess my demo file is the only evidence about Terran anymore.
Yeah. Well, there you go. But yeah, I'll put a link to Looper's Twitch underneath, and I'll also link the world record run of his. You should definitely check those out. But thanks again for coming on, Looper. Great having you.
Thanks.
And thanks everyone for listening as well. And I will be back next week with another guest, which is a mystery to everybody, including myself. But yeah.
PogChamp.
PogChamp indeed. Great way to end. Goodbye again.